really is the way of the future. May I just check, too, is it about 13 minutes we have to speak? This is an article actually from JAMA Facial Plastic Surgery looking at perceived age reversal after facial surgery. And the conclusion from this paper is that the mean number of years saved following facial surgery was 3.1 years. Well, this was seized upon by the American press as evidence that plastic surgery is bad and, you know, there's no point doing it. But I think for all of us in this room and at this Congress, we can ask a different question, which is whether we can do better with non-surgical procedures. I think with our current understanding of the aging process and now that we are trying to adopt a functional approach to it, the answer is yes. I think of the process of using non-surgical procedures as a kind of structured rejuvenation. It's rather like building a house. For photography, may I ask that when patient photographs come up, please don't take any pictures because they haven't given permission for dissemination. You're very welcome to take pictures of the other things. Just the patient images, please. Thank you. So the idea here is that we can potentially rejuvenate all the layers of the tissue from the bone, or really the periosteal region for non-surgical, all the way through to the epidermis. It's important to have a good foundation for the house, but equally important to put the roof on. I've written recently, I'm a dermatologist, but it happens to have been in the plastic surgery literature about this concept of restorative rejuvenation. And what we're going to see today is how lasers fit into that. So the idea here is that we can restore facial proportions through an integrative approach looking at the whole face. We can restore tissue quantity by avoiding too much tissue ablation or removal, and we can restore tissue quality. And these are two references. One of them is already out in clinics and plastic surgery. The second chapter is for the second multidisciplinary edition of clinics, for which I'm honored to be serving as a section editor. And this will be coming out probably the end of this year, or perhaps even the beginning of next year. But I've focused on this concept of restorative rejuvenation. This is the first chapter, which, as you can see, focuses on the upper face. The second one focuses on the mid-face. Another chapter, it's actually a fuller chapter, but has relevance to this talk, is in Jean Lastikarova's new book. So we've been used to the idea of, you know, the 4 hours of non-surgical facial rejuvenation, and we understand that lasers, you know, have been positioned as resurfacing, tightening, and lifting. What I have proposed is that we need to move to a more multimodal concept, which is objective-based, really based on what patients are asking for, acknowledging the fact that one procedure can do different things. And in this situation, we can look at what lasers and light energy can do. Of course, they can regenerate tissue quality. That's the whole point of aiming for collagenesis and maybe even now elastogenesis. Can they replace volume? Well, if we're using a technology like radio frequency, yes, because this is going to predispose more to collagenesis and it is relatively sparing of tissue in terms of ablation. Through regenerating volume and through improving tissue quality, we can actually get some vectoring effect on the face and rebalance the facial proportions. And certainly we can improve skin radiance. This has been shown many times with these technologies. So I conceptualized radio frequency as being a restorative type of energy. It can optimize tissue quality. In my practice, I work quite a lot with bipolar radio frequency. I also have some monopolar devices. And I think of it as a volumetric type of energy because there is less ablation and there is more regeneration. Potentially, the energy can be delivered very efficiently to the tissue plane we wish, for instance, the dermis. And we can spare the epidermis. And this is very useful for all patients in terms of minimizing recovery time. And specifically for patients with pigmented skin, it can minimize the risk of post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. And the rationale for a synergy with other non-surgical procedures, and very specifically fillers, is that once we have improved the quality of the facial envelope, it's going to fill better. And we will then get better results from volumetry. So the first technology that I use a lot in my office is called sublative rejuvenation. This is a fractional bipolar radio frequency. And what you will see in comparison to the conventional laser resurfacing is that instead of the energy being delivered in a three-dimensional cylinder to the tissue, it looks like an inverted ice cream cone. Because the conductance within the dermis is greater than in the epidermis, there is less energy flow within the epidermis, and there is a preferential delivery of the energy and the conductance within the dermis. But this will minimize epidermal ablation. It's actually only 5%, and it will maximize the remodeling potential for the dermis. This is a video which was shot in my office. What you'll notice is this lady has skin type 4. 50% of patients, my patients, don't need any topical anesthesia for this procedure. It's very comfortable, and the whole face can be treated in 10 minutes. This is a small study I had done, really a pilot study presented at the ASDS annual meeting 3 years ago. And what you will see here is that in this situation with blinded evaluation, we can pass out different parameters of improvement: fine lines and wrinkles, brightness, tightness, pores, and color. All things I think that matter to patients, and see at this short-term follow-up at 6 weeks that the improvements are good. And we can look at the global aesthetic improvement on a blinded basis and see again a good improvement. Now, word of caution with all these technologies: long-term follow-up is challenging, but ultimately it's very, very important in order that we can truly know what these technologies are doing long-term to the tissue. In the initial months, even 6 months or more afterwards, there may still be some residual tissue edema contributing to the effect, and we need to keep that in mind. This was a further study because, as I alluded to before, this technology is very suitable for pigmented skin because it spares the epidermis and therefore decreases the risk of post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. And here you can see the global aesthetic improvement scores. I suppose what's nice is that the study subjects were even more pleased than the blinded physician. Here are just a few images, and I'm showing different skin types so you can appreciate. What you can see here obviously is an improvement in pigmentation, but also in there is some remodeling here. You can see the improvement in skin quality, improvement in the contour of the mid-face, and also in the skin reflectance, tone, and texture. Here, this is a very challenging situation, skin type 4 with these pitted scars. This is hands down the number one technology I use in my office for scarring on all skin types. And it's tough in two dimensions to convey how good the improvement was for this lady in three dimensions. Here you can see a skin type 5. Again, you'll notice the improvement in the mid-face contour and the pigmentation. I think you also see a little improvement in the jawline contour. Another lady, very challenging, three-dimensional approach in real life shows it much more than when we visualize it two dimensions, but this is the most challenging situation, I think, a hypopigmented and also hypertrophic scar and improvement. We can combine this treatment with fillers and neuromodulators. These are layered HA fillers and toxin. I use all the products in my office, and you can see there the impact. And if I had tried to fill this man's face without first of all improving tissue quality with the radio frequency, it would have been quite challenging. Right, here's a lady who I like to put fillers in most patients in my office. This lady didn't want fillers, although I can see she has volume loss, and all the things she was telling me screamed to me that she needed fillers. We had to go with patient preference, and what I did was I used another type of radio frequency where the needles are inserted directly into the reticular dermis, a region or a tissue plane that is difficult to reach from the surface without running the risk of scarring. But here it's a parallel array of 10 32 gauge needles, and the energy is delivered directly, and there is some impedance control and temperature control for safety reasons. And you know, this has been proposed as a unique wound healing response with microneedling, because you get stimulation of collagen, elastic tissue, and also to some extent hyaluronic acid, which represents the ground substance of the extracellular matrix. Again, a word of caution, these are short-term results. The immediate wound healing response even when we insert needles, can result in stimulation of collagen and even perhaps elastic tissue. So it's very interesting, but truly from an evidence-based perspective, we need to be looking as much as possible at the long-term studies. But anyway, if I had told you I put a couple of syringes of filler into this lady's mid and lower face, you'd probably believe me, but this is from the radio frequency. And then I added in some toxin here, the typical areas we might treat for an Asian lady. I also treated her mentalis, you know, the congenital jaw retrusion for Asian patients results in overactivity very often of mentalis. Finally, she did let me put in some filler because she was kind of understanding, you know, the whole synergistic approach, and you can see the further improvement. Val Lambros, the brilliant Californian plastic surgeon, has written about the fact that we are not really lifting faces with non-surgical procedures, we are truly reinflating them. And I think if we look at this lady before and after her combination procedures, the radiofrequency toxin and the fillers, perhaps you can see that. She has that concertina-type effect, you know, the compressed effect that Rorick and Pessa have written about in the before picture, and she's expanded and reinflated in the after picture. Finally, I just want to talk about radiofrequency as it can be used in laser resurfacing. We can have different types of excitation for a CO2 laser resurfacing device. And the advantage of radiofrequency excitation is that there is no subablative tail, as you see with the direct current excited laser. The subablative tail is generally not useful therapeutically. It's not high enough energy to truly rejuvenate skin, but it's enough heat delivered to the skin to increase the adverse effects, inflammatory response afterwards, and in pigmented skin, the risk of post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So this is a lady before and after the radiofrequency excited CO2 laser for a micropeel, a light resurfacing, and you will see she has skin type 4. I think what's most noticeable is that the skin radiance or reflectance, which was the fourth of those four restorative R's that I showed you, that skin radiance has improved. And obviously the pigmentation has improved as well. Again, the potential is there for combining this with other procedures. And here you can see that after that treatment, I treated this lady with superficial HA. Now actually I had volumized her mid and lower face already with HAs. But you can see that just adding a little superficial HA into the forehead completely transforms her facial contours. So this is the power of combined treatments. Albert Einstein said that everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. Obviously, when we start adding procedures together, radiofrequency with toxins, with fillers, it makes things more complicated and sometimes more expensive for patients. But I think that the benefits greatly outweigh these disadvantages. For me, the next step in laser is that we are using restorative energies, primarily for me, radiofrequency. And the next step is that we understand that radiofrequency is the foundation of building the house, and then we can build on that with volumetry, with toxins, to give patients an overall integrative effect that is going to optimize their results. Thank you.